Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. So happy that you have joined us again on this beautiful Tuesday, March 19th already. So happy to be here. Sorry I missed you last week, but I was on vacation, but I promised to give you a double dose of Lorena McNair Live Presents Fuses with Michael Farmer. How about that? We're so excited today. What we're going to do today, Michael's going to call in a little later, but I just wanted to make sure that you all understand how much we really want this show to inspire you, encourage you, to help lift you up and point you in the direction that you will help you feel better. And for us, it's the Word of God, it's Jesus, it's through prayer. It's just having the faith to do those things when you don't want to do them. That's faith. When you just really don't want to do it, you've forgotten your why, things are just not rolling out the way you planned or need them to, and you're feeling a little down, a little low, a little like giving up on everything, well, I hope that when you tune in on Tuesdays with us that you feel relieved and you feel refreshed and renewed and restored, and that something we say or something is read, or even if it's a smile or laugh, that it will just help you to point yourself back in the direction of fulfillment and newness and purpose and passion, that you'll remember the why from hearing this show, because it's always about remembering the why you decided to follow your vision, why you decided to follow your dreams and pursue purpose and with passion. So that's what Tuesdays with Michael Farmer is all about, is just giving you tools and nuggets and inspiration and things that you need that can help you feel better, even if it's in the moment, because sometimes we just need a little for the moment. Sometimes it's for the day. Sometimes we try to, you know, just go too far and think about what can happen next week, or that you don't have enough, whether it's enough money, enough time, enough patience, enough strength, whatever that not enough is for you. We are hoping and praying that you remember that God is there. He's always there. Even and especially those moments when it just doesn't feel like it in your heart and in your soul. Because one thing I've found out just through the years of, pursuing purpose and wanting to be the best that I can be in everything, you get a little tired sometimes, and you just want to quit, and you start believing what the flesh is saying, that you can't do this, that you don't have enough, and you're not enough. So I just want to encourage you, when that happens, if it happens for you, maybe it doesn't happen for you, maybe it happens to someone you know, then this can be shared with others to just encourage them, just to keep the faith, because on those moments when I was really just tired and, you know, didn't want to stay in the fight, not like suicidal, but just want to give up on, you know, pursuing the show or writing the book or whatever it is, my soul had refill of praise and prayer, and it would just take over. And sometimes it's just a shift. I mean, if I go from just the blahs to just like, wow, I can do this. I'm so excited that God trusts me to do this. So I hope that you know that it can happen for you too. I'm not an isolated person. I'm not so special that it only happens for me. It will happen for you too. So I encourage you to just stay up, you know, and I know there'll be days when you don't want to. I know, oh, trust me. When I say trust me, because I know there will be days when you just don't want to. And you'll get up for a minute and you'll make it through that day, and then the next day it'll be like 101. You don't want to do it again today, but trust me, there's always enough in you to say, I can do it one more time. Let me try one more time. Let me take one more step. Let me sing one more song. Let me pray one more prayer. Let me raise my hand and praise God one more time. And the moment that you do that one more time, that's when it'll all click in, and you'll be so amazed when you look back on it and see, you know what, wow, so here I am 5 days later, 4 days later when I thought I couldn't do it, here I am still standing. And that's the beauty of having that spiritual personal relationship. And I'm telling you, that's what keeps me going. That's what, you know, allows me to come day after day with my best, with my 100% plus, or excuse me, some days, because I know that I know that I know, as my grandmother and the old saints used to say, I know that I know that I know God will make a way. How about that? So hopefully Michael will be calling in. If not, we'll continue this chat. And if you're listening and you want to join in, why don't you give me a call and you can share some of your testimony or some of your good news, or even if you're struggling with something, maybe you can share it and we can pray with you over it. That always helps. It does, because, you know, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. That means that, you know, we can touch and agree with you and it will happen according to God's will. So the number to call in, 347-539-5772. 347-539-5772 will get you into Loretta McNary Live Presents Fuses with Michael. Michael's not here yet, but I'm pretty sure he's going to call in. He's been calling in every Tuesday since, you know, September of 2012, so I'm pretty sure that Michael will be calling in. So in the meantime, it will be you and me. How about that? Anyway, let's see what's going on that I can share with you. I'm waiting on Michael. Oh, yeah, you know, Pink Eagles Incorporated, that's my Girls Leadership Development, Entrepreneurial Training, and Philanthropy Engagement Organization for girls ages 7 to 18. We meet every Tuesday in the program. Oh, my goodness, it's growing by leaps and bounds, but every time we need additional volunteers, guess what? They happen. It happens. They appear. God sends them. And we are able to just interact with the girls, to be their mentors, sometimes, you know, their friends, just long enough to see what's going on, build that trust, and we always are the adults, of course. And then on the other side for the girls, we have Blue Eagles, which is a leadership development, social skills training organization for boys ages 6 to 18. They meet every Thursday. That was launched this past January from the request of so many people. When are you going to do something for the boys? And it's so funny because although I'm the mother of five sons, yes, five wonderful, amazing young men, I said I don't want to do the boys because some guy, you know, will step up and more guys will step in and do that. So of course, you know, we need as many programs as we can get because we have so many boys, young men, that are needing and wanting mentors and more guidance in that department of, you know, the things that men can teach boys, you know. And I know moms can do it because, like I said, I'm a single mom of boys, young men, and I was able to do that. But I also had my father who was very involved, my brother who was extremely involved in their lives, so, and great male role models, so they still had that male interaction, so I didn't have to teach them everything. But you know what? If you have to, moms, you can teach them how to tie a tie. You can learn how to, you know, change oil and teach them that, how to, you know, change a leak, repair a leaky faucet, replace a window pane or something like that. So we do that on Thursdays with the boys. We're going to introduce them to those things and also other life skills like, you know, open a checking account, how do you budget your money, things like that. So the boys are having a good time, and that's led by me. And I am the founder, and I kind of open the group up and do the nurturing part, but it's led by me, and I have some wonderful volunteers. Mr. Reggie Flood takes the lead on that, as does Mark Clark. He also is very, very involved with Blue Eagles and Larry Hill. And we have these guys that are waiting on the boys to come in. And the boys are coming in, and we're having a good time. So I'm very proud that I went ahead and launched Blue Eagles because, like I said, there is enough. We can't have too many programs. There's no, unless they're not doing anything. I mean, if they're just, you know, just their name only, they're not doing the work, then, of course, you know, I'm not talking about those programs, but I'm talking about programs that are really engaged in the community, that really have the youth interest at heart, and they're doing those things to help us all become better people so we can be productive citizens and be helpful to others. So that's what Blue Eagles is all about, and if you know of a program, we can start putting those programs out, because I know not everybody can get to the area where Blue Eagles and Pink Eagles meet, which is the Hickory Hill area here at Memphis, Tennessee. So even more than welcome to call in and share, if you know, a great dynamic program that's, it doesn't have to be here locally, because, you know, people listen to this show all over the world. Thank God for that. When I look at the report and I see all these countries that these people are, you know, are listening to the show, and I get the emails and I get the inbox messages and I see the tweets on Twitter, it just really does my heart good, because not so much as, you know, I'm growing in popularity, but that the word of God is going forth and that people are being inspired and helped. So that's what I'm really proud of, not numbers so that I can say, hey, look at me, but that, you know, because it's not about me, and I know that, and I've always known that it's not about me. So I'm just very thankful that God uses, you know, the internet, and he uses radio and TV to get his message across, and daily interactions, of course. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a song. It's one of the Trey Lee songs, and I like it. It's not a, you know, a church song or anything like that, but it's just a really positive, upbeat song, and I hope you, and I know you'll enjoy it. Well, I will be back in just a moment. How about that?
All the things I said to you, please forgive me.
I didn't mean to hurt you.
Emotions got the best of me when you said you don't want us no more. You're leaving. I need you right.
All right, everybody, give it up for Trey Ali featuring Philip Young, and that song was called Stay. And I don't know if you guys have ever, or you can be honest and say you've been in that kind of situation, and maybe we'll discuss it from a spiritual perspective about wanting people to stay in our lives when they really should go. They really should go because we're not being the best person we can be. And, of course, you know, we don't glorify God when we have those kind of relationships that are just all inclusive and exclusive of what God says. So, anyway. Guess what, everybody? Welcome to Lorenz Mary Live Presents Fusion with Michael Farmer. Michael Farmer, I found him for you, everybody. Michael, I'm so sorry. I forgot you had jury duty, but thanks for calling in.
Yeah, she actually called and bailed me out. So so I am actually back, and that is actually over. They dismissed us late last night.
Okay.
And it is complete. So we're back in the saddle again. I'm getting my mind back to normal life instead of the law and preponderance of evidence. And well,
yeah,
it was
still all the same because we use preponderance of evidence to prove that faith and prayer works and spiritual principles work for everybody that uses them. So it just fits right in with what we've been talking about.
Oh, good. Well, no, but to be perfectly honest, I actually learned a lot going through that process. The last time they called me, I actually sat in the room three days, actually waiting to be called and didn't get called. And this time I actually got called on a couple of cases. And, of course, they grilled us, you know, trying to find a good impartial jury. But nevertheless, the process was fun. I definitely would do it again in 10 years. Well, at least 10 years. So the judge thanked us for our service, and he sent us home.
Oh,
and of course,
okay.
And of course, when I got there to the garage, it was locked, so I had to call the number. And so it was a very harrowing experience. I think when I got home last night, I think I fell asleep in about 3 minutes. So my wife said, "You sat down and you were asleep."
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I guess that would be the good side then. That would definitely be the good side of everything. But I had posted that for a little or for a lot of soul-filled inspiration today that they could tune in with us. Having not talked with you, having not remembered that you were on jury duty, and I'm just glad that it all worked out because I know that you can give us some tidbits, some nuggets, and, you know, just help because I read the Facebook post and a lot of people – you know what, they're having a hard time, not only financially, but just spiritually, mentally, socially, and I thought we could just, you know, give them some inspiration, and I was telling them, you know what, that what if you're a person like we are, you know, we always are praising God, we're praying, and not to sound so religious today, but I'm just trying to build a platform of what I'm getting ready to say to everybody, that when you get so tired like that or you feel like you're just weak and you don't have enough strength, you have that built up. It's like you've been making deposits into your spiritual bank account. So what happens is your spirit will pray for you, even when you don't feel like doing it, you don't want to do it, but because you have that account that you've been hopefully paying deposits in, then you always will have enough. So don't feel like you're depleted and you don't have anything else to give. You do. Just want to know your thoughts on that, Michael.
Well, that is, you know, and that's been my meditation actually this morning, so it's really no coincidence that you actually said that, because that's what my meditation this morning was. Asking people, you know, what is their degree of happiness? How happy are you? And then that's what I've been actually thinking about this morning. And then, of course, you know, and sometimes I have to kind of pull back when I say, you know, what the Lord said this, because sometimes I make it seem so easy. It's something that I'm literally accustomed to for years. You know, knowing I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I hear from God, and I hear him very clearly. So sometimes I have the same assumption that people do the same thing. So sometimes I have to clarify what I'm saying. You know, when I say that God has told me something, I literally hear his words. His spirit speaks, is in me, so his spirit can speak to my my conscience. He could speak to my soul, and and I could hear so clearly. And the thing that he was saying this morning was, you know, happiness is based on happenings. We need to get beyond this. We focus so much on happiness, and happiness is based on happenings. But we should be focusing on joy, when joy is a state, it's a condition. It's not based on what's going on. As, just like you hear the old song, you know, after all that I've been through, I still have joy. Well, joy is not an emotion. Joy is a state of being. It is it's just a state of calm delight. It's what the Bible says. Joy is. So regardless of what's going on, regardless, seem like your whole life may be in a storm right now. It may seem like, you know, if you didn't have bad luck, you would have any luck at all. And I mean, whatever sayings you can think of that can get you down in the dumps, God has an answer for it. So that's where I am. And contrary to popular belief, you know, we all go through phases like this. Even myself, you know, we all go through these phases, and it's actually and it's actually a phase for God actually wants His children to be, because that's when He can really demonstrate to you what His love is all about. And that's why the scripture says that His strength is made perfect or complete in our weaknesses. So therefore, when we're going through these what we call these troubling times or these tumultuous times, then we know that the Spirit of God is resting upon us. That's what the scripture says. So it's amazing that you were talking about that, Loretta, because that was literally my meditation for this morning. It's how we get that. And when you think about happiness, he was showing me a scale of 1 to 5. One being, you know, on the brink of suicidal, and 5 being on the spectrum of, man, if I could ball this up and sell it, I'd be a millionaire. So it was so it was that kind of thing, and then just asking me the question, where do you think you are relative on that scale of 1 to 5, based on the word happiness, just the things that are happening in your life right now. Then where are you? And be honest with yourself, because regardless of what answer you give, his strength can still be just totally maximized in this time. So there's no right or wrong answer. We're just looking for an honest answer. So that's where we need everybody today.
You are so right about that. And I would answer that question myself on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being I'm at the bottom. I'm so at the bottom that I'm thinking suicidal thoughts. And then with 5 being, oh, my goodness, life is so good, I need to bottle this up. I guess I would be right at a 4 today. And, you know, you have to do this thing one day at a time. Don't do, like, the totality of your life and do this scale. We're talking about today, right now. We're asking you, where are you on a scale of 1 to 5? And we just told you what 1 being, you know, you just having a tough time, it's almost that you just want to totally give up on life. And then 5 being, life is so amazing that you want to bottle it up. So just, you know, you don't have to call in. You can if you want to, 347-539-5772. But just answer it to yourself. Nobody's listening. Just call out a number.
And right now,
today?
Oh, you have a caller?
No, I said, what's your number today?
Oh, what's my number? To be honest, I am right at, I said about a
3.75. Okay.
I'm gonna get technical with mine.
I'm
not all the way down at a 4, because like I said, based on that scale is based on what's happening in my life right now. And there are things in my life that I'm desiring to see to come to pass you know, right now. So I'm at that state of expectancy. I'm, you know, right now my hope is at an all-time high. Now, when it comes to joy, now my joy is always at a five. I mean, sometimes I seem overly optimistic when it comes to situations. Because as I said once before, joy literally means cheerfulness. It means just calm delight. I like said have you ever seen a duck on top of it? I like to use the analogy of joy is it's like a swan. That swan is so mm-hmm. graceful, gliding on top of the water. I mean, it's beautiful. The sun is shining, and you know the ripples in the water looking. And then, but if you take a look beneath the water, you see the legs going about 50 miles per hour. You know, you see the tumult under the water that's causing this state of calmness on top of the water.
Mm-hmm.
To seemingly glide through the water without any effort. Well, that's why I like to liken joy to. You know, regardless of what's going on, I don't care how tumultuous things may seem in your life, you still should have that state of calm delight. Why? Because God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's that tower that we can run into, as the scripture says, in times of trouble. We have an answer. We have an out when we hit these situations. That's why I say if you find yourself in these situations, it's not really a bad place to be in, because, as I said, it gives a God a chance, as we like to say, to show up and show out. But all things have to be equal. You have to be abiding in his word. There still has to be some, you know, similitude of prayer and worship going on in your life, and praise, and, you know, a life of, you know, seemingly great obedience unto his word and to his commands. You know, all that being equal, then you can have that state of expectancy. But if you know you're not doing those things that are pleasing in his sight, if you know in your heart of hearts that, man, I can really step my game up a few notches here, then that's when his grace may kick in. And as I say, grace is a gift. It's something that he has to extend to you. It's not something that you have 100% access to. It's what he has to extend to you. It's a gift. And once he extends that gift, you just reach out and receive it, and you take full advantage of it and use that grace, you know, as an opportunity and as a stimulus that, no, I would never go back down this road again. And that's what I do. I always say, when I find myself in a situation where I know I had some hand in getting me into this situation,
mm-hmm.
he extends me that grace and I receive it. With one statement that I always say is I would never put myself in this situation again. Because I believe in taking full advantage of the grace that God extends to me. Because who's to say if I go back there go back that way again that he will extend me that same grace again? So that's my message to anybody that's listening on today. You know, God intended for everybody, every creature that he created, God intends for them to serve him. And
mm-hmm.
and we serve him by obeying his word. We serve him by doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. We serve him by walking in faith, and we serve him by serving his people in love, extending the same love that he extended to us. We extend that same love to other recipients. So it seems like a really vast equation, but it's not. Like I said, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it is simple, and God uses the simple and the foolish things of the world to confound our own wisdom. So it is those simple things in life that make all the difference. So you say you're at this state of number four relative to
mm-hmm.
happiness. Now, on the joy scale, how would you rate yourself?
I would rate myself, okay, I was trying to think of some animal that when it swims, it just looks like it's struggling on the bottom of the water and on top. And I don't know the name of that animal, maybe, I don't know what struggles that just, I guess a fish coming out of water on, and he doesn't want to be out of the water. He's struggling. He's really trying to do something different. That would be one. And then five would be the swan. And today at this moment, Michael, I would say that I'm a swan. I'm definitely a swan. There are a few things going on that I would love to have look different, feel different, be different right now. Just a couple things. But at the same time, the bigger picture is really good. It's great. So I'm a swan right now. Probably this time last week or 2 weeks ago, I was probably a two. It was probably a two, but God worked it out, and here I am again, a swan.
But as I said, now remember, happiness is an emotion. And emotion is the thing that moves us to do certain things or to feel a certain way. That's what an emotion is. That's why the word, that root word emotion is in there. And mm-hmm. joy, remember, is a state of being.
A state. I mean, I know.
It's a state. It's condition.
It is, but I was allowing my outside things, the things happening, to fill my joy. I talk about that in my book, so I know that, you know, happiness is based on external things happening, and joy is the state that you're inside. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with your feelings. It's a state, like you said, of being, and I understand that's what joy is, and joy is always available to us. It's always available to us. But when we take our minds off that, when we take our souls out of that place, then that's where the sadness comes in. That's when the anxiety comes in. That's where the wishing I were more, wishing I had more, wishing I could do more, take over everything. So, yeah. But most days I'm good, but I still struggle with that. Most days I am a five, but when I allow my eyes to come off the, what they say, the prize, then I can see where I'm not a five.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's and what I like about this whole exercise is that, you know, God always requires us to be honest with ourselves. He never asks you to be honest with Him. He already knows your heart, so He doesn't ask you to be honest with Him. He can look down at you and say, "Okay,
exactly.
I know who you are." But the true essence of being delivered from anything that you feel like you're bound by, or any trap that you feel like you've gotten yourself entangled in, is to face that reality. I like to always say is to look in that mirror. Sometimes people don't like to look in the mirror, and if you talk to a lot of people, I never realized the number of people who do not like to look in the mirror because they don't like what they see physically.
Mm-hmm.
But so just imagine, though, having to look at the scripture said having to look into the perfect law of liberty, and that's a mirror that God gives us, you know, to look into that and say, wow, you know, I'm a long way from where I should be. But it's an indicator of where you can begin, and of course, you know, and in order to get to your destiny, you have to know where you are, and that's financially, that's emotionally, that's in relationships, that's in every facet and realm of life. You have to always face those realities of where you want to be, and then your reality and in correlation to your where you want to be should always create some type of tension.
Yeah.
And tension is what creates true change. So also always remember that attention plus intention equals tension. And your attention is your reality, and your intention is where you want to be. It's your imagination,
mm-hmm.
and those two combined should create a desire for real change in your life. And it's until you face that reality of where you are, because we always have in our minds where we want to be. That's what most people are. We're always looking at where we want to be, but we give very little attention to the reality of where we are, because in a lot of situations, we are because we allowed ourselves to be there.
Mm. You said so much in that little amount of time, so much. I want to kind of go back to the mirror, and then I want to talk about what you said about the intention and how tension really moves you to change. But first, when you were talking about the mirror, and one thing I found out, and I'm not sure if men do this too, but I know for sure that a lot of women do this, and it's not anything that for more cultured women do it more or less, or more white women do it more or less, or black or Hispanic or Latino, whatever. It has nothing to do with that. But when we have a tendency, when we look in the mirror, Michael, we only see, we see two things. One, we see what we want to see. We're only going to see what we really want to see. And two, we see the negative. Very rarely do we, and that's our physical mirror, our mental mirror, and our spiritual mirror, because we always have this comparison thing going on. And so if you're always comparing, you can't appreciate where you are. And if you can't appreciate where you are, then it's very difficult sometimes to move forward to where you want to be, because you're not accepting the place where you are. I'm not saying to accept it in a way of just saying this is the way it is and I'm not going, I can't change it. I'm saying to appreciate where you are, to love on where you are so that you can move forward, because there has to be this place of joy, there has to be this place of love and purity before you can move on. Because God, like you said, God knows already, and we can't fool him. On your best day of fooling everybody you meet, you are not fooling God. I promise you, you're not. So we have to learn how to not compare our worst to somebody else's best. And that's how we usually compare. So I love that mirror analogy. And oh, my goodness, we could just spend a whole day on just what we see and why we see what we see. And then you talked about intention and then having that feeling and that spirit of tension. That means something, there's a pulling. And you want to stay in the old, but you're attracted to the new. But you feel good in the old, but you really wish you could be in the new. So that's where that tension comes in. And unless there is tension, there's very little change in moving forward towards the thing that you want. So I really like those analogies that you were using. So I just wanted to put my spin on that. Because I was like, wow, that's deep. That's good.
But you are, but it is so true. I just had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago to actually go back into some of my old notes that I've taken. Every class that I ever took, whether it was in the Ministry Institute or in the Pastor Teacher Training Institute or Life Transformation Institute or listened to ministers going to conferences, I always took notes. And I still have every note that I ever had taken as a manager when I was working for the government. I still have those notes, and I had an opportunity to go back and just look at some of those notes, and man, it is so much power in those notes. And you know, sometimes we sit down and we kind of take notes religiously, and I used to always do this with when I would have a meeting, when I was a manager, when I was working for the Internal Revenue Service. We would have the unit meeting. And I would discuss things, you know, what went on last week and, you know, where we want to go and how we met the standards and what we need to do. And just, you know, just kind of one of those things that come together and kind of keep them motivated. And give you that sense of family as a unit as well. Well, people would take notes, and I would call them back when we finished. I said, okay, now tell me what your notes say. And then they would read the notes. I said, now what those notes mean to you? And I don't know. I said, well, why would you make a note that you don't understand? I said, your notes are for you. They're not for me.
Mm.
So always remember that when you're taking notes, those notes are for you. They're for you to reflect back on. You need to write not just what you heard me say, but you need to write what you heard me say. You understand what I'm saying, Loretta?
Yeah, because you know what? Reality is, you know, your perception is your reality. Whatever you perceive that thing to be becomes a reality, whether it's the true reality,
exactly,
or just your true reality. So
yeah.
I definitely hear that, because that's why arguments start. That's why, you know, you have so much discord. You have relationships fail because of that. Businesses fail because of that, because people thought they heard you say something you didn't say.
Yes.
But to them, you said it.
And that is true, but my point in this exercise is to always remember that when you're taking notes, and I always do that, when I'm teaching a class and I see people taking notes, I like to take the opportunity to kind of approach some of those people who took notes, and then I like to ask them, you know, what those notes are and what they mean, and how did you interpret, because, you know, your notes should be your interpretation of what I said. It don't have to be verbatim. I mean, you just want to, If that's what it takes for you to remember what I said, then that's what you do. But you always will always write in your notes some type of memory jogger, and that's what I do when I take notes. I write notes that I can go back to and remember exactly what they said by putting some symbol or something, or how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. You can put a smiley face. I mean, you know, you have to be skillful when it comes to taking notes. But now we got all these with these telephones where you can record what people are saying, and we have DVD, we have YouTube, and we have, I mean, it's so much media out there now where you can get these things, but there's still something special about seeing that your hand actually wrote something, and that represents life. That represents life to me. My life is in those notes, and that's where I found that formula, that attention plus intention equals tension. And I think I wrote that in 1996. So you got to think that was, what, 17 years ago? And it's just as potent today as it was 17 years ago. Why? Because principles never change. So if you find yourself stuck in this rut and you're looking to get out of the rut, then that should create some type of tension in your life, whether it's anger or just whether it's a strong desire, or it puts you in conflict with someone, or it puts you in conflict with yourself. That's a good thing. That lets you know that change is imminent or change is needed. That's why you like I say, you show me two people who never disagree, and I can show you two very unhappy people.
Ooh.
Because at some point, nobody thinks alike 100% of the time. I mean, that you're kind of going along, and that happens for a short period of time. But at some point, you want to be the real you. You want the real you to shine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be it good or bad, you want it to shine. So it's so much, and I talk to so many people that are frustrated, you know, today, and of course those frustrations can come from so many different avenues and so many different mindsets in your culture. So much plays into it, but God gave us His word. Well, first of all, He gave us His spirit, and then He gave us His word to guide us through all of these affairs of life. And you never have to suffer in silence. I mean, you never have to suffer in silence. And for some reason, not some people choose to suffer in silence. They'd rather be pushed all the way to the brink, and then see themselves brought back, so to speak. I don't know where they get a rush out of that. I know some people can do that, and it's dangerous to do that.
It really is. Because then you're out of control.
Exactly. You never have to go to the brink just to experience this state of euphoria. You can get that state of euphoria just by seeing God coming in and changing that situation, you know, with His word and with His peace and with His comfort, and you seeing that thing turn, and you know you had nothing to do with it. Man, there is nothing more euphoric than seeing God operate, and you know in your heart of hearts you had nothing to do with it. So that's where God wants you. Now that's a scripture I'm looking at, actually, in 1 Peter 4. And in 4:13 it says, "But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings." You know, you see, that's one part of the gospel we don't like to hear. is that we are partakers of Christ's sufferings. We're yoke fellows. We are partners. We share with
some people get stuck there, Michael. Some people, you know, it's a crowd of people who get stuck there, and then there are a crowd of people who don't want to be acknowledged that verse at all. So I think that's why there's so much, what word do I want to say without sounding too hard? I don't know how to say it, but other than to say that's why there's so much trouble in the body of Christ, I think, because we want what we want. And then there are a few, not nearly enough people who want all the totality of Christ. We want, like the verse says, the suffering, and then we want the rejoicing too. So until we all agree that you got to take it or leave it, you can't have one and not the other.
Yes.
We have to
But he said that, you know, it should be a time for rejoicing when we know that we are suffering for Christ's sake. And that means that because we have taken a stand on his truth, we've taken a stand on his word, we've operated in love, and nobody has reciprocated. Those are his sufferings. So those are the things that we go through. And he said, but that should be a cause for rejoicing, because when his glory shall be revealed, he said, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So not just regular joy. He said, I want to crank that joy up to a notch where you are jumping for joy. Mm-hmm. That's what that exceeding joy means. It means to jump for joy. It means to be exceeding glad. I mean, to where you can't contain yourself. So,
it means more than you've ever experienced, more than you expected, more than you deserve, more than you ever thought would ever happen to you. He wants to exceed whatever you thought. That's what it exceedingly means. It's more than you ever thought.
Yeah.
It exceeds your expectations. So, can you imagine that? Because sometimes I'm like, Lord, you can exceed this? I'm having such an amazing time. You can exceed this? Yeah.
And
so we
got to
remember that not only at those happy points when we believe God's exceedingly given us a joy, but to remember that when you don't feel that. That's when I believe you get it, is when you don't really feel it, because, you know, we get so caught up in feelings and emotions.
Yes,
we got to do a show on that. We got to do a show on that. Has nothing to do with anything. Get over it. And I'm not talking about in cases of death of loved ones and mourning and grief. I'm talking about everyday things, when you don't get your wish list, when Santa doesn't bring you the gift you want. That's what I'm talking about. And I would never tell somebody to get over any kind of loss of loved one or relationship, you know, that's just not my style. But I mean, in these little, we ain't like little spoiled children. You need to get over that.
Yes. Yes, you do. And as you said, that's a show all within itself. You know, you're talking about, you know, emotions and your feelings.
And I don't feel like it.
As I said, they all have their place for certain times and certain seasons, but you definitely can't live off of them. You definitely can't live off feelings, you know, because feelings are very temporal. They can change, and you can be happy one moment and very sad the next, just because, you know, you may have gotten a phone call, or say the weather's changed, the sun's not shining outside, it's raining. I see sometimes as you see on those Facebook posts, and it's raining outside, and wow, and it seemed like people just go into this deep, dark state of just misery.
Darkness.
Wow, it's raining outside. And I'm like, wow, did you know that the rain is what causes the earth to bud and bring forth, so we can have things to eat and things to sow? And then that process takes all that process just goes all over again. So like I said, for you, you have to get to a point where you have totally renewed your mind, and we talked about that. Once you're walking in that renewed mind, all of this begins to make sense, and that's where Christ wants us. He wants us to walk in that state of a renewed mind, so it can make sense to us. So you know you can't you know it's hard to. It's hard to mix the old with the new and really be excited with it, but it's nothing like walking into something totally brand new. Like you just say, you got a brand new house and you got to put all this old broken down dilapidated furniture in it. I mean, you're not feeling too good about that. No, you want to go out and get some brand new furniture, and you want to get brand new appliances. And matter of fact, you would go into debt to do it because you want all things to become. You want all
become
things
new,
to
become new, yeah.
No, you don't want this new home that you dreamed about and prayed about and sacrificed to get, and you have to lug all of these old furnishings into this new home. Well, God feels the same way about us. He sent the Holy Spirit into us and made us new on the inside. And he said, now all that old thinking and that old manner of living, he said, I just want you to just leave all that behind. And he said, as a matter of fact, I'm going to forget about it when you leave it behind. And then he said, and behold, he said, I want all things to become new. You know, that's what that scripture means. He don't want you to have any identification with that old man. That he just made this body new with his spirit to come into it. I mean, and that word new does mean that he improved the quality of it. It's like a brand new building. And then we drag all these old mindsets and all these hang-ups and all these, as the old people like to say, all this thinking. We drag all of this into this newfound way of life, and you wonder why war is always going on. Because the spirit and the flesh don't like one another. They're constantly going to be at war. So God wants you to be in that state of peace where the old thinking goes, and you have a mindset that's in harmony with that which is brought unto you when he gave you his spirit. So and sometimes it seems like I know I'm repeating the same stuff over and over and over again, but I'm telling you what I know what works. So as I say, if you find yourself, you know, in dire straits and you're just at your wit's end and you're just hanging on to the rope and you just feel like letting go. All I can say is if you're at that point, don't give up. Because you can experience a turnaround right now. All you have to do is say, Lord, I literally surrender. I surrender all. And he knows your heart. He knows whether you mean that or not. And if you mean that, you will see his glory be revealed in you. And you will be exceedingly glad when you do. And I'm a living witness to that statement I just made. I mean, it literally is, you know. If you're going to let go, make sure that your hands are going up to him as a sign of total surrender. If you want to do anything with your hands. And he can come in. And he can just blow you away. Because I'm always looking, okay, Lord, I want you to demonstrate to the world through me what you can do. Not what you have done. I already celebrated that and I've gotten over it. I want to see you do some more stuff. And then I can give you a testimony about what he's done. But I'm always in expectancy, okay, Lord, I want you to show yourself strong on my behalf. And then I live that life, and I make that condition favorable for he can do that. And you do that through obedience. As a matter of fact, that was the lesson that I actually had prepared that I was going to do. And we could do it probably at a later date. But the title of it is going to be The Effects of Obedience, The Effects of Obedience. And it's a message that's going to bless your socks off if you got any on. So.
Yeah, because, you know, we kind of, I don't know if it was a conversation I had with you or somebody else, and we were saying that obedience is right now obedience. It's not that I thought I was going to do it, then I decided I wasn't going to do it, but, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to do it now. Then,
yeah.
You know, you kind of cross the line because there's, like, delayed obedience. It's not really obedience. Just like, you know, it's not really faith. If you got to wait and see a sign, that's just you doing it because you're doing it. But faith is I'm going to take this next step not knowing, you know, if I'm going to fall or if it's the right step, but I'm believing God will, you know, he will take care of me. That's faith and that's obedience. When he says do it, and you are working to do it, not let me pray about it, Lord. You know, God, you know, because we said, can you sing a song? You're a songstress, but you said, I got to pray about it. So that kind of throws me off. So obedience, and I can't wait till we do that show, Michael. I think that should be our next show, is you're not even going to have a second thought. You don't have to think it over. You know it's God telling you this, so you do it.
Well, it is actually coming out of the discipleship study course, and it's only chapter that deals with obedience, and it's only two chapters to that particular one, and one outline deals with the effects of obedience, and then the next one deals with the expedience of obedience.
Mm.
How obedience is expedient. Expedient means that it benefits somebody else.
Mm.
So like I said, God never wants us selfish. So those are the two things that we're gonna talk about. You know, the next time we come in and do this, the effects of obedience and the expedience of obedience. And man, I'm chomping at the bit to get this information out. I just have to come in and purge all this legal. They definitely saturated us with legal jargon yesterday. And
oh,
actually,
wow.
But as I said, you know, I learned. I'm always looking. Any endeavor I go into, I'm always looking to learn from it. And
yeah,
and
because God uses all of that.
Yes, He does.
If He's going to use whatever He allows. And Michael, in the study of obedience, do you deal with how do I know it's God? Because I hear people say, I don't know if it's God telling me to do that. I don't know if, you know.
Well,
so I'm not.
We are going to deal with that, and that's what I've been studying the past weeks. I wanted my prayer was, Lord, give me a deeper understanding of what the word rhema means, and He did. So I got it. I think I can intelligently convey it to you where you can truly understand it. Of course, you know, we kind of hear that term kicked around a little bit, you know, a whole lot, you know. You know, rhema, and you know, then you got graphos, which is the actual, you know, inscribed word or the written word of God, and then of course you have logos, which is an intelligent or understood word. But I've always dealt with that, but there was always like a missing element in what exactly is this rhema. And He gave me the answer about 2 weeks ago, and man, I've been meditating on it, and you know, hopefully He's gonna unleash it on you, and hopefully I pray that it be a blessing to you. That is always my desire. When you hear my voice, my desire is that you be blessed by what is being said, not because I'm intelligent and I speak well and all that. No, I want you to be blessed because what's in me is reaching your spirit. The same spirit in me is the same spirit that you have on the inside of you. And in doing so, I just pray that, you know, what is said, you know, turns out to work in your favor. And then you turn around and you convey that same message to someone else. And just read, call. God doesn't waste anything. God likes to recycle His everything. God recycles His word. He recycles His praise. He recycles His worship. I mean,
right.
God doesn't throw away anything. He even did a miracle where He fed 5,000 people, and then they picked up 12 baskets full of scraps. And
right.
I'm quite sure He didn't throw those away. I'm quite sure His disciples ate those.
Yeah,
so, you know,
other people.
God,
yeah.
So God doesn't waste anything. Everything that's in the earth when it first began is still here. So
right. He's the creator of sustainability, and people think that's a new word. Everybody's trying to do things that are sustainable and things that are green. And I'm like, you know what? I heard the Father. He's so far ahead of the game. He had already did all this.
You guys are not creating anything new.
And it's so funny,
oh,
Michael, because that's what I said in the show. I said, everything that we do is not about me or Michael. We want you to feel better. We want something that we said to make you feel good, to encourage you, to uplift you, and to point you to the Word and to Christ, because it's not about us, and we know that. And it's so funny that we're closing with you saying what I said when I opened the show.
and
you weren't listening.
No, and I wasn't listening. I was actually basically just recuperating. I didn't know what the number was, and I almost didn't answer the phone. I was like, let me do this. I'm like Christ. I had compassion on the people, and I said, let me do this. And I have been truly edified. I'm just going to let you know that I have been edified. I have been built up myself, and I actually needed it this morning.
Oh, praise God, because I'm like, let me find him, because I just couldn't remember the conversation last week. And I know you told me you had jury duty this week. For some reason, I just did not remember. I said, Michael's going to call in. He's probably tied up with a meeting, a customer, but Michael's going to call in. I played a song, and I called you, and here we are today. And we've done our show, and I didn't even say kudos to my sponsor, Rescue. So I got to tell everybody, Rescue Skincare has created hair treatment products to help promote healthy hair growth and help relieve severe dandruff, itching, and flaky scalp. And you can check them out and order products or just learn more about the company at www.letusrescueyou.com. And you can find them on Facebook and on Twitter as well. So, Michael, thank you so much for taking the time today that we didn't even plan, or you didn't plan for the show because you had jury duty. I thank the people for excusing you so you could do the show. And I'm just praying that, and I know because God stopped everything for the show to happen, that people will be blessed. Even if it's one person, then that that's all right with me. In closing,
well, I have
Michael.
As I said, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And I always just like to say, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. So if you do those things that you know you heard today and just dare to put them into practice in your life, I can just about guarantee you that you will see your situation change. So with that said, just be blessed. Always rely on God's word, because he is a man that he cannot lie. And you guys have a blessed week until we see you again until you hear from us again on next week.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Loretta McNary Live Presents Tuesdays with Michael Farmer. And we'll see you every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Loretta McNary Live. And we pray that everything that was said today glorifies God and not us and points you to him. And we'll see you next time. Have a wonderful and beautiful day, everybody. Bye-bye.